Thanks. I just walked in.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks. My name is Howie, and I'm a medical student, and I feel like I just confessed to something horrible. I'm here tonight to tell you a medical student ghost story, and actually I'll be telling you two ghost stories, which is your cue that if you haven't finished eating yet, I would temporarily pause for a little bit. Part of the privileges of being a med student is the opportunity that we get to study anatomy. And part of studying anatomy is the both the ritual and the educational experience of doing a human cadaveric dissection. So at Emory University, we're split into six people. We're assigned a cadaver. We're in pairs of two. And it's I have to say, it's one of the most amazing experiences that I've ever gone through. That's an understatement, I guess. When you first start out dissecting another human being, it's a really strange experience because you're filmed with this sort of weird warmth and attachment that someone else has given such a great gift for your education. And what I found was weird was that over time, that sort of warmth towards this, you know, our like seventh team member or our teacher, we would call him, that warmth sort of began to change. It turned into this combination of sadness and clinical distance. And it was sort of expected. I mean, the things that we were doing as time went on just became more and more horrible. I mean, we were literally tearing a person's body apart scientifically and systematically, but we were doing sort of horrible things to this dead body. And as the weeks of dissection progressed, I found myself thinking more and more about who was this man who had given up his life? What was his name? What did he do? We had little clues here and there from the body, but we really didn't know. And there was this one night that I woke up and I started dreaming about him, and I had never seen his face before because, you know, you keep things covered that you don't use, and we hadn't gone through the face, and I dreamt about his face, and I woke up, and I started Googling all the clues that I had about his, you know, his year of death, and it was just really, really odd. I just really wanted to know who this person was. About a month or two into our dissection, my grandmother passed away, and I flew back to Taiwan to attend the funeral. And it's at the funeral that I learned that one of my uncles has the ability to see ghosts. I hadn't really met this uncle before. And it was a really strange thing because during the entire funeral, my uncle's there kind of giving a play-by-play of what my grandmother is doing at that time in spirit form. So I was like, you know, she's really happy you're here. And then, you know, like, it was just really odd. But it was nice. After the funeral, I'm sorry, this is so horribly dark, but we take the body to the cremation center. If you've ever been to a Taiwanese space for cremation, you really have to check it out because it's really amazing. Because we're, you know, Taiwanese and Chinese, there has to be food. So like people are like selling like tea eggs and like ramen noodles, and it smells delicious. And in the back, they're, you know, cremating people. So it's really quite something. So I sit down with my uncle over, you know, ramen and tea eggs, and he begins to tell me about his abilities to see spirits. And he describes them as shadows. He's had this experience as a child. Interestingly, he described the experience sort of like tapping into the world wide web. You know, just sort of cast out a net and you sort of get a sense of what's going on. And he recommended, I think for the same reasons as the World Wide Web, you shouldn't do this at home because it is kind of dangerous, although he recognizes that almost everyone has the ability. So we're talking about, you know, my grandmother, and, you know, he like tapped into my grandfather and told me that he recently became reincarnated. And then I told him about my experiences as a med student and the fact that I kept on having these dreams about my cadaver. And that's when he offers me his own diagnosis of spirit attachment. And as we talked, I was sort of struck by the parallels between a clinical diagnosis and what he was telling me. That, you know, I had a diagnosis, a name of spirit attachment, and he's telling me that there's one of two possibilities, one or two etiologies or explanations as to why I had spirit attachment, that either the donor of the body was not quite sure of his decision, so that's why he's come back and he stayed around, or another spirit has come into the old space and now is demanding rent for the fact that we were now using it. And he offered his own epidemiology, that that one of the big differences between Eastern countries and Western countries is that in Eastern countries there are many more ghosts, because in Western countries the Christian God sort of recalls ghosts immediately. And finally, he offered a prescription. He said that I should go to the body and sort of in my mind think of this light casting down. And that I should bring a Bible. And I'm like, Bible? Like, what if he's Jewish? And he's like, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. A Bible's, like, close enough. It covers almost everything, like an antibiotic. And, like, I'm like, sure. And he gives me a whole list of things to say. And I'm like, and I really sat there struggling. And, you know, we finish the funeral, and I come back here, and I tell my anatomy partner about everything that's happening. And we sit down, we talk about it, and we talk seriously about it, whether or not we should do it. And we're like, we have to sneak a Bible in, and they have to go in. There's no one else there, so it'll be late at night, and it'll be a mess. So we end up not doing it. But over the weeks that progressed, I heard more and more from other students. You know, I heard one of my classmates, when she walks outside, she sees fascia and the clouds. Someone else dreamt that she was making sausages from human parts. Sorry, guys. So someone else told me that that they began to have nightmares, that at night their room was haunted. So I realized that, you know, spirit detachment may be a valid analog for these sort of med student stresses that we were going through. On the very last day of dissection, the very, very last day, we're finishing things up, we're cleaning up, and we're about to get ready to really close up shop, and there's no one else there. And I'm surprised to hear my anatomy partner's voice starts saying the words that my uncle told us to, that, you know, we are very thankful for the experiences that you have given us. We thank God for all that you have taught us. We were not exactly responsible for what we did, but we really thank you for everything that you've given us. And we close up the body bag, and our hands sort of wave as arcs as we close everything up. And the dissection light is still on, casting a light down. And this was the image that I held in my mind. This is the image on the very last day as my anatomy partner clicked off the light from above. Thank you.
Howard, that was an amazingly awesome story. Thank you very much.